horizons. It's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and a happy new year. Welcome to this edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. As people who are blind or vision impaired, one of the things we need to consider as we start living independent lives, and particularly as we have families and so on, is how do we get away from it all? How do we take a break? We need to find somewhere that's appropriate and easy enough for us to get around and do the things that we need to do while we're on holiday, whatever type of holiday it is that we choose. One of the things that a lot of blind and vision impaired people have been doing and investigating lately is going on cruises. I myself attended with my family a cruise over the Christmas break. Joining us now are Steve Richardson and Vanessa Ransley, both of whom are cruise veterans and both of whom attended the cruise with me over the Christmas period. We'll start with you, Steve. What do you think are the advantages from the point of view of anyone who's blind or vision impaired to going on a cruise versus other types of holidays?
I think one of the big advantages is that once you're actually on the ship itself, you don't have to do too much. Your whole holiday comes with you, as it were. You're not having to get to different sites every night and unpack your stuff. You know, having to try and work your way around a sometimes unfamiliar environment, once you've worked it out, you know, all the things that come with that, including restaurants that you may visit, you get familiarity with those, and because they're the same every night, staff around you may, you know, eventually get familiarity with you as well. So they're fairly big advantages. If the port of where the cruise is leaving from is your home port, the other issue is that you don't also have to fly somewhere. You can take a holiday without having to fly and all the inconvenience of travelling through an airport.
Vanessa, do you have anything to add to that?
Steve pretty much summed it up. Everything's there. You don't have to try and find a destination by, you know, getting onto some other form of transport or getting a cab. You know, you just walk. And you can have some idea of where things are before you go, you know, what level certain, you know, like the shops are on level 5 and, you know, the spa's on 14 and things like that.
What sort of things are available to people on a cruise ship?
Oh, golly, there's any number of bars and usually several restaurants. There's the pool deck, you know, lots of places to sit or lie down in the sun. You know, there's usually the health day spa type thing where you can get facials, and there's the gym. There's often some sort of more extreme sport activities like rock climbing walls or flying foxes. So many different things.
Essentially, your cruise ship, Vaughan, is a self-contained community. Essentially, it's like a village. It has pretty much everything you need, including a fairly good top-grade medical facility. If necessary, you can also find those sorts of things. Emergency services are available, and from what I understand, pretty up-to-date.
What would you say to the argument that cruising is extremely expensive?
Once you've paid for your ticket, which is not too bad, and that's including your food and that sort of thing. It doesn't include drinks, but, I mean, you can monitor your own spending. They give you an onboard cruise card and you can use cash to top up that, or you can link it to your credit card. I mean, naturally, there are lots of other things they'll add in to make money, like you can have, you know, buy portraits that they take of you, or, you know, there's the shops and things. But I guess you can tailor it to suit your own budget.
My argument simply is that, you know, for $100 a night, essentially, you know, maybe a little bit more, $150, depending on the length of your cruise or and the time you go, with, you know, and that is meals included. I defy anyone to find a nice resort or a hotel which is of similar value to that. I mean, you know, it's no more or less expensive. In fact, I'd probably say it's in some ways less expensive than going on some other forms of holiday.
My kids now are 14 and 10, but I've been on several cruises since my kids were sort of 8 and 4. And I like the fact that they have the kids' activities already built into the program. You don't have to think about that, whereas if you go to a resort or to a bus tour or something like that, you very much do have to think of what to do for your kids and for yourselves, you know, what sort of entertainment you'd be looking for. Cruising has all of that taken care of. I wonder, though, both of you, as I understand it, have been on cruises on your own. Can you just give us a little bit of information about how it is to go on a cruise completely by yourself?
The biggest challenge is when you're going on your own is the first couple of days is always quite interesting because you've got to try to figure out your orientation around the ship. One of the challenges I've found with cruising is the fact that you're actually cruising with often, you know, close to 2,000 people or maybe more on some of the larger ships. You know, and I use a cane for my travel. You have to find ways to sometimes navigate busy corridors and things like that with a cane, which can be a challenge. People will step on the end of it by accident, of course, and that can be sort of an interesting thing. So that's one of the challenges I think I've found in my experience. Sometimes you'll find that on ships there'll be tactual and braille marking on cabin doors, and sometimes you'll find that it won't be there. And that can vary from ship to ship. If you don't have things like that, you use other things picked up. Like when I was coming down into my corridor where my cabin was, I knew which side of the ship it was on because I could hear the surrounding noise from the atrium below, and I needed to keep that on my right hand side as I went into the thing. Into the corridor, and I also remember that there was a rail on the right-hand side as I travelled down so that I knew which direction, and then it was just a matter of counting doors. Luckily, the cabin I was in was fairly close to the stairwell and elevator bay. So it's just little things like that, I think, if you keep your wits about you, you can actually do it. And if you're fortunate enough to have a cabin that's fairly centrally located, it means you're not having to worry about going all the way from one end of the ship to the other. If you want to do something like a restaurant, the restaurants tend to be at the back. Other things tend to be at the front. So if you're central, you're fairly, you know, it's just go one way to the marquee or somewhere like that, or the other way to the restaurant. You're not having to travel huge distances to do that stuff. Those sorts of things make it a bit easier, I think.
Vanessa, what about entertaining yourself if you're on a cruise on your own?
Well, I've found some cruise lines actually will have activities specifically for solo travellers, they call it. So, you know, they might have lunches and you get to know other people through those. And on one particular cruise, a few of us, you know, struck up a bit of a friendship and then ended up just sort of doing our own thing. Often you'll meet the same people at, you know, if you like to go to the trivia activities, you know, and you'll come across people who you perhaps sat with at the one before and, you know, they might ask you to sit with them, or you come across different people at various activities that you attend. It's also, you know, it's useful to take along a book or something, you know, for those quieter times. But, yeah, generally I found that, you know, there's so much planned for you. You've got plenty to do, and you just sort of, I'll talk to anyone basically. So, you know, it's not terribly hard to keep amused.
One of the things that many cruises offer are shore tours, where you can actually get off the boat and have a look around a port or a local area. Steve, have you been involved in many of those, and how have you coped with that?
It depends on like how game you are, I suppose. Some people who would probably do that very willingly. On a couple of occasions, we've had reasons to get off the ship. If there's someone we're wanting to meet or something that we're wanting to do in particular, or you just want to walk around, or if I'm with other people who want to do that, I might come along. But you know, there's no reason why you have to do that. Of course, the ship is pretty self-contained, and they don't expect everyone to get off. So a lot of the stuff continues to run. Not all of it. Sometimes they might shut certain things down on shore days. But there's no obligation to get off if you don't want to. There's certainly no pressure. But if that's your thing and you feel like you want to have a go, you can do that.
I have found that, sort of depending on your itineraries, when I've been to Vanuatu, Fiji, Samoa, American Samoa, I've tried to do as many of the shore tours as I can, just so you can get a feel for the actual places you're visiting. I found that I've only been brave enough to do the ones offered by the ship, because generally you meet at a point on board and then you all go off together and, you know, are deposited on to the bus, and then, you know, you all travel together. And generally, you know, sort of you can word up the person you're sitting next to, you know, if I'm heading in the wrong direction or I'm not on the bus, can you find me? And that's fine. But also if the bus breaks down or something and you're on a cruise organised tour, the ship will actually wait for you.
There are some accessibility options on cruise ships. I wonder, Steve, perhaps if you'd go into some information about some of the things that are available to people with a disability on cruise ships.
The ship caters for people with wheelchairs. As far as blind and vision impairment is concerned, the facilities can vary from ship to ship. Quite often you'll find odd things. You'll find cabins with no braille or tactual door markings, but you'll find elevators with braille in them. You need to be a little bit assertive with wait staff to make sure that they, you know, I've been in situations where I've sat at a table and, you know, and I've just, until I've gone to the bar or made a big effort to go up and have a look, that I actually haven't been served. They, despite the fact that they're meant to do table service, no one sort of wanted to approach me. I found they got better as the cruise went on, at some of them anyway, got better at being able to manage that.
I think one thing people need to be aware of is that most of the employees on the ship will be from different backgrounds. Like on the previous cruise I just came back from, there were people from India, the Philippines, and other sort of places that perhaps people with disabilities are viewed in very different ways than they are perhaps in Australia. Another thing you do have to deal with on cruise ships is a lot of written information. Each evening you will get a daily news sheet of the activities that are on offer the following day. And unless you've pre-warned your cabin steward to perhaps put all of that sort of thing in a particular place, you may not find it. So I guess a good question to ask before you book is, how can you access that information? You know, can you organise someone to read it to you? You may have the wherewithal to use things like Seeing AI to read that sort of thing, or perhaps you may be able to organise having things emailed to you. But bearing in mind, you know, on some days we receive the daily news sheet at 11:40 in the morning, so you'd sort of already missed the morning's activities.
It's also worth noting that on the last cruise we went on, my family had a cabin that was accessible to deaf and hard of hearing people. I found that really fascinating. It had a doorbell, which was actually a really good landmark because it was right above the door handle, so you knew which cabin was our cabin. And when you pushed the doorbell, it vibrated underneath the floor and vibrated the bed, so that was quite useful too if you have a hearing impairment. Steve, any final tips for people who are considering booking a cruise?
Do the things that you can do. Ask the questions. If you're going to go on a cruise, find out whether there are any people in the community, the disabled community, who've cruised before, and hit them up for questions, because we're all in the same boat, or all on the same ship, if you like, and we're all going to give you the best advice to make your holiday as good as possible. And at the end of the day, the more people who are educated about accessibility, and the more people who give good feedback to these sorts of issues and what has to be resolved, the better it's going to be for us for everybody in the long run anyway, because the next holiday might just be just that little bit better as a result of improved accessibility. But I think above all, make sure that when you go on your holiday, try to enjoy yourself.
I think that's a really good point, Steve. It's all about your attitude. And I think one of the things that I would say to people who are thinking of going on a cruise is, for God's sake, make sure you take your sense of humour with you, because you sure as hell will need it. Steve and Vanessa, thanks very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Vaughn.
And that's our program for this week. I'll be back again next week.
We'll achieve the realisation of our dreams. Of our dreams.